Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Hello, hi. Welcome to our inaugural episode of The Role and the Player. We're taking a deep dive with some of your favorite characters and the fascinating minds behind them. Today, our presence has been graced by the epitome of Southern hospitality. Jordan Ackridge is an enigma, walking along the tightrope between civilian and criminal life. Upon first meeting her, one would never expect that the affable and charismatic personality has some of the most delectably spicy drama, intrigue, and scandal following in her wake. Join me in welcoming Jordan Ackridge.
Hello.
Jordan, introduce yourself to the people.
I am Jordan Ackridge. I have been in the city since late December 2023, and I am so happy to be here.
And we are delighted to have you here. Why don't we do a quick overview? Give us a cliff notes of your time in Los Santos.
I was hired very, very quickly once I came to the city to be a receptionist for MRPD for shift 2. I didn't even fill an application. So I took that position. I did that for about 7 or 8 months until I had a bit of a falling out for various reasons. And then also had a situation where I was kidnapped, taken to Pulido. Little Stockholm syndrome, you know, this and that. And then moved through it with therapy. And now back in the city as a court clerk, city clerk, but also trying to do more good in the city as best I can. So I do work as a DFC therapist. Again, I'm city clerk. And I'm a Mosley's master mechanic and can sell you a car.
Fascinating. Would you be willing to dive in a teeny bit more as to what led to your departure from MRPD?
So at that time, there was a bit of a Patriot Act situation. The mayor that was on, that was working with us, Maximilian Thoroughbred, he had set up shop pretty much in the lobby. I was a victim of someone that wanted to take my life. They were not well and they wanted to kill someone else. And I filed a report. I was told, Jordan, like, we can't do anything to help you pretty much. You just need to be careful. Considering how many times I'd been taken hostage when I was off duty, I had just no faith. And so the information that I got from being on radio as to what was going on with all the stakeouts, I did leak information. In the end, though, I admitted to it before they knew that it was me. So. Mm.
Well, we're
it's very much a gray area.
Mm. As are many things.
Indeed.
Now, next question for you. You somewhat went over it a little bit, but what does your average day look like?
Typically, I wake up in my apartment, you know, if it's been a... Unless it's been a good night, so I was picking... No, I'm just kidding. Now, typically, I wake up in my apartment. You know, I check my messages to see if anyone has said anything. And a lot of times, they have. But it's mostly people that want things on a short-term basis, which can be frustrating. Mm. You know, because everyone needs their beauty sleep. Anyway, so I check my messages and go get some food, if possible. Sign into Mosley's, sign into City Hall. And then go from there, typically go up to Scraps, see if I can approve any items. And it's just, okay, for lack of a better term, it's a shit show from there. You know, I it just is what it is. I would love a chill day, but the chill day doesn't find me. So.
Well, especially as the multi-hyphenate that you are, a man that you are, I understand you're probably very much in demand.
Don't know why, honestly, but thank you.
Well, especially as someone who, to some degree or another, has your hand in many pies, for lack of a better phrase. You travel around a lot. What is your favorite spot in San Andreas?
I have two. One is, it's like a I don't want to say it's a grotto. It's like an alcove, though, that is close to the power plant on the far east part of the city. There's these giant rabbits there. Also, there's typically, you know, some boats and jet skis. I really do like that area. Unfortunately, I was told by someone that people are typically killed there, so that kind of ruined it for me. Mm-hmm. The other place is it's very far west of this on the island. It's close to Palito. You can see at night you can see the dolphins that glow in the dark from there. It's kind of close to where the lumber where that area is. Yeah, I like very scenic areas.
Sounds like a nice peaceful getaway from what is usually a hectic day.
Yeah, as long as there are no murder kitties, you know, that's
quintessential challenge to enjoying nature.
Indeed.
Well, pivoting slightly, wandering minds want to know, what motivates you? What are you passionate about?
I think that I've tried to make it as transparent as possible, that I've only ever wanted to do good in the city. However, my approach to that has changed. And my view of that has changed as to what that entails and what that means. I still want to do good in the city, but it's just, it might look different for other people, but that's also because they haven't experienced the things that I have. So at the end of the day, though, I do want to do good. I do want to make a net positive change. It's just maybe not how others would view it.
Especially in a place that tends to prize, violence as a motivator and a solver of things, that's gotta just add a whole other level of complication to what you're trying to do.
Yes, I mean, and especially with the gaslighting too. Like, I know that people try to do right by me by gaslighting me and trying to protect me, but is that really doing me any good? I'm just not sure, but yeah.
In those situations, do you find that it might be safer for you to kind of play a bit dumb to protect yourself? Or do you ever feel the inspiration to sort of like speak up and push back a little bit, even if it puts you in a more difficult spot?
I feel like you're reading my mail, so to speak, in that in that regard. Because, yes, I do, actually. I do play dumb a lot of times. I do lean into the... What is it that Edgar said? The Helen of Troy narrative. Or as someone else would say, the succubus narrative. Yes, I do lean into those things, you know, just so that people see me in a much less, I don't know, intrusive light or, you know, whatever. Because if you, it's easier. When you do that, they don't know what to expect. And so when you come out, you know, like I know exactly when I quit MRPD, Slax was stunned. And that was honestly that actually kind of told me what I was capable of.
Mm-hmm. That's a difficult dichotomy to tread. I know in my intro, I talked about you treading the line between civilian and criminal life, but being someone who is in what are objectively some pretty high-level government positions, to have to, in a way, play your own little personal game of politics, personal game of survivor to navigate things is... do you ever find that it gets easier, or is it just new challenge after new challenge?
It's new challenge after new. Like, currently, my most recent challenge would be dealing with Nino. I did not expect him to be so abrasive towards me. That really did take me off guard. Because I think that a lot of people would confirm it's easy for me to be able to charm someone in the city. It has always been kind of easy for that until they realize that I might either be too much for them to deal with or I'm just not genuine. So with Nino, though, that really shocked me because he just came out. He had no qualms with just telling me outright how he read me to filth, honestly. So for lack of a better term, yeah, he did. And so, but I also, it's hard. It is hard to deal with knowing things and not being able to do anything with it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like sometimes when the charm falters, for lack of a better phrase, it sort of puts you in a position of vulnerability to have to pivot.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And that's the people that I can't read in the city are the people that are immune to charm from me. And there honestly, there should be more people like that.
There should be more people like that. Elaborate for me.
Another example, I mean, I can give you another example, Brandon Valentino. He cares for me as a person, but he is immune to charm or whatever, and I do find him hard to read. I love the challenge, though, of someone in the city that I just struggle with reading. It really does work well, as opposed to just people that are just blindly, I don't know, mesmerized by, what is it? Is it the accent? Is it the hospitality, like you said before? I don't know. But, you know, what do you do there? I need a challenge. I mean, but Nino, though, too much of a challenge. I need him to reel it back in.
Well, speaking of absolutely undeniable charisma, who are the three people in San Andreas who are the most important to you?
Wow, this is honestly a great question. Okay, first of all, Winsong. Winsong is someone that has helped me shape my life in the city, whether or not she knows it, but it is true. Secondly, I would say Ashton Sterlingham. That is probably my oldest friend in the city now. Even though we had a bit of a falling out, I don't want to say falling out. We just, you know, I've always tried to protect him in any way possible. And so that did look like alienating myself from him for a while. But he is very important to me in the city. And the last one would be my current boyfriend, Phil. So, yeah.
How did you meet Phil?
He saw me out in front of the apartments. I was looking for a ride, and you know, I wasn't looking for a ride, actually. I needed a ride because my bike at the time was gone. But now he was, like, circling the building, and he was going to take me somewhere. And I was just in a mood, and I was like, well, where are you going? You know, otherwise, you know, because I didn't know who he was. And it's very rare for me to not know people in the city, you know what I mean? Like, when you've been in the city for a long time, over a year, you typically know just about everyone or who they're affiliated with. I didn't know this person. I didn't know the group that, you know, they might be affiliated, you know, anything like that. And so it was a good conversation. And we just went from there. And yeah, it was a good connection.
Well, I guess speaking of making connections and first impressions, what impression would you like to leave on others?
Hopefully a positive one, but I know that that is difficult considering that I seem very fence-sitting or, again, gray area. But that comes with the territory. You're in the city this long. It's not at all what you originally think it's going to be. When I first came to the city, this is the biggest city I've ever been in, honestly. I'm from nowhere, Alabama. And I come to this city, and obviously, again, I'm in over my head. I have experience in doing things, but it's been very much trial by fire. I've learned a lot along the way, but my viewpoint on things has changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Why don't, I'm actually quite curious, how exactly has your POV changed since you moved to Los Santos?
I would say that I am much more chaotic neutral as opposed to lawful neutral. There are just certain ways that you have to deal with things, obviously. Like, I am shocked to wake up every day in Los Santos at this point in time. To be real, you know, it is what it is. I've lost so many friends along the way for much less reasons than what I've done to other people. I went up against Edgar and what his whole goal was with trying to bring someone back, you know, and it's just on and on. Sonia Summers, someone that was very horrible, very scary, very, very scary. You know, I have both my arms still. I know Margo and Randy. It's just on and on. I don't know how I've been so lucky, but I have been. So I don't know if it has to do with chance or the yap ability. I'm not really sure.
That's speech plus 100. Well, I think that segues pretty nicely into my next question here. And you somewhat answered this already, but I kind of want to hear more of your thoughts on this. What is one thing you wish people understood about you?
That there is such a thing as, like you said, Southern hospitality, a Southern belle kind of person, you know? Like, it's not as serious as you think it is.
Oh, in what way?
You know, I'm not out here trying to sleep with everyone. And that's another thing. Like, I'm sorry to be crass in this moment, but it is very something that it's important for me to convey this, I believe, because I do know the connotation that exists with my name in the city at times, or what people may think of me. But no, it's possible to just be charming, to just be a debutante person, you know, to just exist in this way, and to not be doing anything that is untoward, so to speak.
Absolutely. Sometimes, all too often, people mistake friendliness for flirting when, friendship and having a platonic relationship can be just as valuable, if not more so, than a romantic connection.
So, I mean, flirting in itself, though, is without action, it's merely that. It's banter. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be the best way to either protect yourself or gain information. It is a defense mechanism. I shouldn't always need to have a weapon on me to be able to defend myself.
That is so true. In a way, this connects to our next question here. Tell us about a time that you messed up.
I am hesitant to say this. I won't go far into it, but I had just bought the house in Polito. Yeah. In a serial killer situation, I did mess up then. I should not have been on the back porch. Shot him, and it was not a good situation for me. That was a big
wrong
that was probably
place
my
at
biggest
the wrong
mistake.
Time.
Well, you know, at the same time, though, he had tortured two very good friends of mine. And so it didn't make sense at the end of the day. But yet again, I failed by the PD. Imagine that. Who could predict?
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess that does connect pretty nicely with our next question, especially with the amount of serendipitous situations you find yourself in. How would your ops describe you to others?
Oh, that's a fantastic question, actually. as a menace, I think. Honestly.
A menace?
I'm aware that I'm polarizing. I'm well aware that people either love me or hate me. Which I think is not a bad thing, to be honest. You know, either they're going to defend you or they're going to just berate you, just rake you over the coals.
Mm.
So it would be that. I don't really mind the either loved or hated thing. What I do dislike is that my ops don't give me a second chance, typically. Or they just don't want to hear an explanation for my actions.
Mm-hmm. So sort of that taking that first impression, like if you fail that, for lack of a better framework, if you fail that charisma check the first time, they don't budge or give you another opportunity.
Like a great example of this would be Barrett. I don't think that he takes me seriously. I don't think that he was, you know, chief of police when I was a receptionist. I think that I just wasn't able to make that connection with him, as opposed to like Turner, Slacks, you know, like it's just Cornwood, you know, those three, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. In those situations where, kind of following up on the whole charisma thing, if you find that there's someone who just doesn't, you know, and I don't want to say buy into it because it's not necessarily that you're trying to put on a salesperson face, but in those situations, how do you...
I will say I'm selling my livelihood, though, in a way. I'm selling my life. Yeah, like I'm selling them why I should not be attacked or hurt. How do I handle it, though? I typically avoid people that I just cannot read or that I know are put off by me. So that is one thing that I do. Because it's hard. I have so very little resources in order to protect myself. Well, I can get a gun license and I can have a gun on me, and then so it can be stolen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God forbid I don't have the serial number down. You know, yep. It's whatever. Then the people are going to think that I'm a party to it. I have seen so many coworkers and friends that will pass away and nothing be done about it, even when there was a murder weapon and their own lives be just broadcast 6+ months later on Twitter. It's just ridiculous, you know. So if I can't talk my way out of a situation, I just avoid that person in whatever way possible. If I can't, then I will find someone. This sounds horrible. I will find someone that is adjacent to that person that can try to sway their mind.
So utilizing the connections that you've made to hopefully create that extra barrier of protection.
I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's still the Yapocalypse, so to speak. No, it's whatever I can do to get them to just to get them to listen to me and to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's very limited, though. And like the people that I do truly trust, that is extremely limited.
Listen, if there's anyone that I would trust to deploy a tactical yapping nuke, you are at the top of that list.
If I can't get them to just give me information, I'll wear them down. But yeah, thank you. that's very much that is very flattering. Thank you.
Incredible. A little bit of a pivot here. What is the most adventurous thing you've ever done?
Most adventurous. When I came back from Polito after selling the house, I took a job working at the food stall knowing I probably would never get paid, but I just did it to expose myself back to the city, to let people know that I was back from Polito, that I had turned my life around, that I had, you know, been divorced and blah, 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 and all this. I think that was very adventurous because I put myself back out there after being gone for however long, and it benefited me. You know, I got a job as a clerk, at city clerk, and however else, and people saw that I was back. So, yeah, it was beneficial. But it was very adventurous, and it was kind of scary. I mean, I wasn't making money.
Mm-hmm. So, very socially vulnerable. And it was socially and monetarily vulnerable.
And taken hostage, like, 4-plus times a day. But that was also beneficial, because I think that I kind of reset the standard on how to treat hostages.
Mm.
When I said that I would not be in the trunk. So,
hell yeah. If you're gonna be used as a bargaining chip, you better be treated like a goddamn exactly. princess.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, I got in good with some people from various gangs. Most specifically, though, I did kind of, like I said, reset the standard for Cyprus and the Manor. They no longer, as far as I know, have most women get in the trunk like that. So I'm proud of that, honestly.
It's good to be.
I mean, you could be a hostage and not be treated like a second-class citizen.
Facts.
Treat me with respect.
Next question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Good job bypassing Norman. That's about it, yeah.
That is so good. You know what? It's sort of connected to that in a way, a little adjacent. What? Jordan Ackridge, what is the meaning of life?
To give more than I take. And leave things, like I said earlier, in a net positive.
I love that.
But you know, my method to get to that, though, is... That's not part of the question, but it's just... That is my goal. It may not look like that is my goal to other people, but that is truly what it is.
Me, big fan of that.
Thank you.
All right. Now we are going to jump into our rapid fire round. We'll have a minute of rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Give it to me.
All right. And we're off. What is your favorite color?
Orange.
Hunting or sanitation?
Hunting.
What is your favorite drug?
Alcohol.
Favorite pizza topping?
This is spicy, but not really. Pineapple.
Define yourself in 3 words.
Unassuming, ignorant, flirty.
What is your worst trait?
Being flirty.
What is your best trait?
Being flirty.
Laundromat or cash exchange?
What was the first one?
Laundromat.
Cash exchange.
Vintage or new?
Vintage.
If you could force perma anyone, who would it be? Oh, well, we're out of time.
That's unfortunate.
So
but
unfortunate.
Thank you for that.
Now, let us ever so casually dip into our Discord and chat questions section. We had some members of our live chat here on Life Invader submit some questions that they are burning to hear your answer for. The first of which is from Spot the Daction. If Jordan was mayor, what would you want to change?
Listen, we don't have that kind of time, but I did really enjoy working as a campaign manager, you know, back this past election. As part of that, it did really allow me to think about what I would change. First of all, I would make sure that I could only guarantee things that I could follow up on, which I know that that's not a clear answer, but that should just say, you know, how serious that I would take it. Like, example, Nino, you know, his first term, he's saying, you know, oh, you know, I'm going to open up the pet adoption situation. You know, there's people out here, Polito Pets, blah, blah. I'm trying to open up my cat cafe, Pussy Galore. Can't do it. Not because of the name, because I can't get the pets. And, you know, it is what it is. I think that there are, my term as mayor, I would want more oversight. But at the same time, that seems like an impossible task.
I suppose this next one is a little adjacent to that. This one comes from AC Decoy. What are some of Jordan's aspirations, aka backup dreams, if mayorship isn't in the future?
Well, first of all, I'm not running for mayor. I'll just say that. If anything, I would run for judge. But my aspirations, I actually have been thinking about Marshall.
Really?
I have been, yes. Because I trust someone that is a Marshall as of late. I do like the idea, though, of being a shadow member of something. I don't trust all members of PD. I wouldn't want them all to know that I was a Marshall, nor would I want just any civilian to know that I was a Marshall. There has to be a way, though, to farm this information like I do and to use it for good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be Marshall. Max had his own negatives, but the cabinet, I think, was a good part of his mayoralship outside of Murphy, obviously, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that you are only as strong as the people that you surround yourself with.
I think that is excellent. Next one from Firewolf Neo. If you are overwhelmed or anxious, what do you do to relieve that?
Really? I gotta out myself here in front of God and everybody. I gotta tell everybody how I am. No. Listen, what do you think I do? I cause a menace to men in the city. I make them hate trying to raise up a woman that knows better. That's what I do. I'm sorry if now I'm combative, but that is what I do.
But does it work, though?
Yes, it does. It makes me feel a lot better. Yes. Because you know what? It reminds me that maybe I still got it in me. You know? Maybe I still got it. Maybe I'm not as jaded as I thought. That's all.
Speak it.
I try to, you know. I'm very lucky, though, that the gentleman that I have been dating, he understands how I can be at times, and he doesn't hold it against me, but he does hold some things against me. So, you know, there is that.
Ooh, we actually have a live one here from Fast Laps here on Life Invader. What pet would you like to own?
Honestly, none. Because I would look out for the others better if I didn't have my own. I'd be blinded by my own association with my own pet, you know. Plus, that's what the men are for. They're my pets. That's all I don't
mean none. Well, Jordan, this has been an illuminating discussion. Thank you so much for your time. Is there anything that you would like to share to the good people listening before we end here?
I would just like to say, you know, if you see me running for whatever office, I think that you know where my heart is. Please just consider that vote for Jordan Eckridge. That's all I'm saying, you know, because I think that at least I'm aware of my own faults. There is that. I am that self-aware. But thank you so much for this platform. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we thank you for sharing your time, your charisma, and your intellect. Going to take a brief break here where we will be returning with our next guest. All right. Without any further ado, we are back with the player part of the role and the player. And no one plays as well as delightfully. One of my favorite people to RP with. Let's be honest. It's Lady, the mind.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. Wow.
Seriously. You are fantastic. Thank you, though. Thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm. I am so flattered.
It really is my honor. And this is about you, all right? If anyone tries to compliment me, I'm going to spontaneously combust.
No, seriously. Please go ahead, though, because I'm nervous, but yeah. This is the part that I am the most nervous about because I am myself instead of Jordan.
Well, chat is loving you, BT Dubs, so let's get that straight.
Well, thank you.
Chat, we're going to talk with Lainey. This is going to be a little more of a casual version of the conversation here. So, open up the floor for you. Hey, who are you? Who is Lainey?
I'm just a random person that started watching roleplay during COVID. Got into it, applied, and took a long time to actually try to do it. And then once I did, I just got kind of hooked, yeah.
Yeah, so for curious minds here who may not have any clue what we're talking about and how did you get here, first off, if you don't know what roleplay is, but for the curious minds, and honestly mine, I want to hear how you define this. What is roleplay?
For me, it's the ability to play a character that is not yourself, to kind of escape into another world, so to speak, because I do that actually. It's very, people think that I'm just, I don't know, people probably think that I'm crazy, which I, that's not a good, considering Jordan, that's not really a good thing to say, but you know, it is typical to, for me to kind of disassociate, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, like get into the character, not remember what I'm doing, not remember what she says, and unless I record it, you know, and look back, I'm very unaware of what has happened. But yeah, it's escaping into a character for me.
Mm-hmm. And you spoke about this very briefly during the little intro bit here, but what got you interested in roleplay?
Yeah, it was COVID, actually. I can't really remember. I had honestly never played GTA, and I still haven't to this day. I've never played GTA.
Never?
At all. Never. I've never played it. And this actually ties into why people would say that Jordan was quote-unquote fresh off the boat. Because I don't know anything about GTA, really. Like, I tried to play it briefly. I couldn't drive the car.
Oh. So, that's a big part of it, I suppose.
Yeah. Like, you know, one of the very first quests. But I got into it. I saw Speckle, which is Sonia Summers. I saw Murphy. And I saw Hobbit Trash, who played Caden Steele.
Really?
That was my very first subscription to Twitch, was Hobbit Trash. And I fell
what
in love with Caden
Steele. What a bombastic intro. That, I love that.
God, she is amazing. Her and Chips. Seriously, fantastic. And it was just, I don't know, like the way that she handled criticism, the way that she handled her character, the way that she wasn't scared to play a powerful woman character also. She took so much criticism, though, also early on, or in general. You know, I don't know. I was just... And then it was Jackie. It was Kiwu. And once I saw Kiwu play Jackie for 10 days, I was hooked. I just couldn't get enough of it. And so I applied right then, and that was 2018. And I didn't actually get on the server, though, until 2023.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Was it just, like, waiting for the... this is probably a boring question, but I don't care. My curiosity, it takes precedent because I'm the god of this pod.
Of course.
Was it just you like rustling up the inspiration to play on the server, or?
Well, I did visit before the quote unquote collapse, but every time I had Jordan, well, it wasn't Jordan at the time. It was my original application character. But every time that I would have that character, I would either go to court roleplay, which is, you know, my favorite thing, or she would get kidnapped from like the apartments or the airport or whatever, and it just, you know. And so once the whole collapse thing happened, I decided that I wanted to actually take it seriously. But unfortunately, my anxiety was crazy. I would lose my voice trying to actually leave the apartment. That happened for a long time.
Yeah, what ultimately got you to sort of overcome, I suppose, that anxiety?
It was just like the people that encouraged me to do it. So Siobhan, Murphy, Serge Cross, and Judge Adams. They spent time with me. We would get on a Discord call, you know, whatever. I would be very upset, you know, because I was just like, my voice, I can't talk at all. I don't understand it. I don't know why my voice is gone. And you wouldn't get it now because, you know, Jordan's such a yapper. But that's just because she's a character. And you just have to, like, throw yourself into it. But, yeah, it was very difficult for quite some time. It was, you know. And if I take a break for a week or two, I find myself really getting that same kind of anxiety again. So but it's not as bad.
I'm
always appreciative to them, though. Yeah, like I owe them so much. Like it honestly, like I'm so thankful that people, you know, did that with me. They really helped me move through it.
Hell yeah. And I, you know, just as someone who's a casual Lainey fan, I'll have to say, I really enjoy the way that you sort of, like, pay that forward in a way to people.
I do enjoy Jordan being a quest giver and a, like, a newbie-friendly kind of person. You know what I mean? Like, I really do like that for her. That was honestly my favorite part of her being a receptionist at MRPD. Like, people coming up, you know, that were new to the city. Like, I really did enjoy that.
Yeah. And that ties into the next question here. What was your inspiration behind creating Jordan?
Again, Jordan was never supposed to be a long-term character. She never was. This was, honestly, she was supposed to be a short-term character. But she is based a little bit on Elaine Bennis from Seinfeld, who is my namesake. That's where Lainey comes from. When I played WoW back in the day, so she's apart from that. She's apart from very young me, you know, and then also just a character that I thought in my mind, because the background of Jordan working at Boobie Bungalow, which is an actual real place. It is a true strip club from Alabama. It's like the only strip club that I know of from Alabama. And so Jordan was supposed to have been, you know, but she was never a stripper. She was a cocktail waitress. And so it was this, you know, character that I thought of, kind of like, you know, that she was so sheltered, which, you know, I I grew up similarly, but not quite like this. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's just, I don't know. It's a lot of things. It's, but mostly, I will say again, Elaine Bennis from Seinfeld. And then very young me. And a product of the city, mm-hmm. honestly, because she's evolved so much. She's nowhere near what she was initially.
Yeah, well, we'll dive into that specifically a little bit later, but this kind of segues nicely into the next question here. What are some ways that you are similar to Jordan?
I don't want to self-report too much here, honestly, but I will say that I was never much of a dater. Jordan is very flirty, very openly, you know, she is, as he would say, Helen of Troy, you know, or as Ashton would call her, probably a succubus, you know, that's not me though. That is not who I am at all, honestly.
That kind of ties into what are some ways that you're different from the characters. So I imagine that falls in that category. Different.
Yeah, that's not me at all. I'm just, you know, I like to lay low in that way. I don't like a lot of attention like that. That's probably a good illustration is that I don't stream and that I have a hard time with even trying to. But I wish I did. You know, I really want to. I want to hit affiliate by the end of the year, which is a crazy goal. Like, it shouldn't be that hard. The more followers that I get, like, added, you know, accidentally, or it makes it harder. Mm-hmm. So I do think though that she's someone that is very confident in knowing her strengths, and I don't know that that is me at all. Like, she knows that she can, basically she knows that she can pretty much charm a man, and that is, or someone that would be interested in her in general. That's just not me at all. You know, I can't. I think doing it in role play makes it a bit easier. It's, and I don't know why, but it is. It's just, I guess because you have so little to go on. Mm-hmm. Other than like voices and stuff. Also though, I will say that I've been very fortunate with the people that Jordan has role played with. They've helped me grow the character and grow as a role player.
That's lovely. What is your favorite RP memory?
It's kind of a negative one, but it was Jordan quitting MRPD.
Because that brought a lot of roleplay with it, too.
That was craziness. It lasted so long, too. Mm-hmm. It was like three hours, and she got raided. It was craziness! It was crazy.
Actually,
it was probably
unhinged.
One of my favorites. It was honestly one of my favorites, yeah. It was so good. But then, what else would it be? I'll give you another example, though. Let me think. More recently, Jordan yelling at Coyote about chastity.
Really?
Yes, and I was going to give you that, but it's not clipped. But I do have the VOD for it. It's like, I've never had her do that. I've never had her yell at anyone like that before. And he didn't say a word the entire time.
Whoa.
Which I thought was interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, that's probably my other favorite thing, yeah.
Would you say that, like, you're saying that you have never really yelled at anyone in character before. Do you think that there are some emotions that are maybe a little more difficult to roleplay for you?
I think that... So, I play Jordan with an open mic, which I know is very rare that people roleplay with an open mic. But I think that lends to her, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, it's because she is out of her element. She's out of her depth. that's her living in this huge city, and she's trying to, even though it's been over a year now, this is not the life that she's afforded to. She doesn't know anything about it, really. And for her to openly laugh and all that, I think that really affords to the character.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it difficult, though, as well, because I really don't want it to seem like, and I think, I will speak about this openly, I don't want it to seem like I am Jordan, because I'm not. I'm yapping, though.
Mm-mm, that's what this is for.
Yeah, no, this is what, I mean, you and I, though, we play very well off each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you get it. It's just, it's honestly, it's been an amazing ride for me. And I've been so fortunate. I just truly, even though I don't know if people realize that you don't have to stream to appreciate the experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so incredible for me.
In that way, how's your experiences or perspective on RP evolved since you started, especially since, you know, you don't stream, right?
Yeah, it's been more challenging at times, I would say, because I at least record, or I try to, when mm-hmm. I'm doing things, because I do like to go back, since I was saying earlier, you know, like kind of that whole, like, disassociate thing, you become the character, and you don't really know what's going on. My perspective of roleplay, though, has changed because I think this is a server by server basis, though. Mm. I'm whitelisted on other servers at the moment now, too. It's, you just have to kind of read the room, and that is obviously very difficult for a lot of role players, and I didn't really anticipate that. I think that if you stream, it's easier for them to, because they're gonna look back and they're gonna see you, what, like, narrate to your chat or whatever, and I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So is it sort of the weird, like, having to reconcile that dichotomy between in-character
yes.
moves and decisions versus, you know, out-of-character, just being someone who's just playing pretend? Not
yeah,
to make it sound
I mean,
so.
It's, no, you're right, though, seriously, like, it's, and I, in the past, I was thinking, like, you know, I want to do a stream where I just talk about Jordan's motivations and the narrative of her,
mm-hmm.
but I never really did, because it just, I keep getting, like, followers and stuff, and it just scares me more. It's like, what am I going to do? Like, all these, you know, I'm just very, I'm overwhelmed by it in a way, because for Jordan, I think that Jordan would be fine with all of it. Truly, mm-hmm. she would. But she is an exhausting character, and I do take breaks and things like that. Like, I think, I would hope that would at least lead some proof as to that is not me. You know, it's a lot sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to step away, like, have those moments where you're like, you know what, this character's going through a lot. I'm going to step away just to refresh yeah. my soul a little bit.
And to get back in touch with who the actual character is.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the oppression of how people treat her.
That's...
At times.
That's an excellent way to phrase it. Do you have any, like, acting or performing experience? Or is this sort of the first time that you've entered this sort of realm?
I did plays when I was younger. I mean, with this accent, yeah. Of course, I did beauty pageants. You know, I mean, I did, yeah.
I'm lying, love that.
I did. I was like Little Miss Wildcat, you know, whatever, 19, I'm not going to say. But, you know, it's, no, you know, I do have a little bit, but not, and I actually wanted to, this was going to be my question for you, because, you know, about how improv would be beneficial towards role play, because I feel like I would be good to do improv.
Mm-hmm.
just to get the experience.
I think you'd be excellent at improv. I'm not even saying that to, you know, blow rainbows up your butt, legitimately. A key component in improv, like, of course there is the much joked about yes and everything, but really the first component in that is listening and actually reacting to what your scene partner is saying and giving emotional value to that. And I think as a scene partner, you do that incredibly well.
Well, it also depends on the partner. I will say that. Like, I do play Jordan as being erratic and very manic. I mean, she's horribly manic now. Obviously, she's been on a spiral. She has to be. I mean, look, she's a product of her environment. I could not play her as being the same innocent girl that she was when she first arrived. That wouldn't make sense. Do I take it too seriously sometimes with her? Probably. But it is important to me to be true. I do not want her to be a Mary Sue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very devoted to that. Like, I am very serious about her not being a Mary Sue. I won't have it happen. I'm just not. She's been through too much. I would love to explore the yes and improv and things like that. Kiwa, like I was going to say, it was a great example. That was someone that genuinely, when Jordan and Maisie Graves, Kiwa's cop character, most recent cop character, did their yap session and went to therapy and all that, it was amazing for me. And then she messaged me or whatever. I'm not gonna lie, I cried. I couldn't believe it. It was seriously, it was like Jackie's whole like Burger Shot song was one of my most played songs on Spotify at one time. Like, seriously, like, she's amazing. She's so amazing. And I just, for her to be, and also Tanner, because he was, you know, the therapist at the time. I loved it, you know. And then Tanner is on another server now, and Jordan ran into him. But it's just, it's craziness. Like, I've been so lucky. I've been so fortunate. I've learned so much from all of you. And I cannot thank all of you enough. I can't thank you enough. Kaylee, seriously.
This isn't about me. It's about you, because you're amazing.
I just want to also tell you truly, because you have been. It's rare, I think, that it's multiple characters now, you know, which is interesting. You know, there was Chassie Marie. I would argue, though, that Eliza and Jordan have more of a connection.
Yeah, which I found quite interesting. Yeah.
Same. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Even though, you know, Chassie and Jordan dressed alike, which that still to this day kills me.
So like, funny.
OC kills me. That picture. I almost gave you that picture, you know, to show.
Yeah.
With the fits that are just in different colors, and Jordan's are like subdued and Chastity's are like bright, and they see each other for like one of the first times, and it was just so good. But anyway.
Chastity was like a Lisa Frank to Jordan's, I don't even know what to call it. Just like Matisse.
God, Shift 2 was brutal. I'll put it that way. That was literally trial by fire. That was insanity. But it was so good as well. I got so much roleplay so quickly.
And you approached it with aplomb.
Oh, well, thank you. I will say, though, people gave it to me. People gave me the role play, like Bobby Charles. Like, that was a fantastic, like, the cuz, like the cuz gang.
Oh, yeah, people like that. The like, community. Like,
yeah, the community. Mm-hmm. They gave Jordan the community, what was it they gave her? They said that she'd been to community college, and she was the only one that had, like, a cup pass or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they just loved her and everything, but she sees them, and then, you know, I just love things like that, though. And I love, like, having her have little quirks, where it's people that she, I don't know. It's honestly, it's been a wild ride, and I don't know what the future holds for her. But it's again, it's been fantastic.
I know it's a bit hypocritical of me because I am allergic to compliments. I break out in hives, but I need to commend you because it's not just, you know, we can talk about people who, you know, give RP to others, right? It's one thing to give RP, but it's another to take that RP and turn it into something, right? Because I think it's an easy, all too easy, and I know I fall into this pitfall sometimes, all too common, you know, RP circumstance where, you know, someone's giving roleplay and no one's really reacting to it or giving it any
yes.
weight. And yeah. I think that is something that you very much excel at.
Thank you so much. That honestly means a lot because I do take that seriously. I really, really do. I think that ties into the yes and.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you... And also, I know that there are other people that are like me, like Jordan's current boyfriend, even Gambit. He's very much of an includer of other people in roleplay, no matter what character he plays. You know, things like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
just trying to get as many people involved. Like, you know, just being a part of a group, because that's what it's about. That's what the whole thing is about. Just having everyone be don't isolate people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I really do appreciate you saying that because it's, I think that a lot of people wonder what my motivation is since I don't stream.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just to exist in it, you know? It's just to maybe just to do something that, you know, where you don't have to think about life for a little bit.
Yeah. That is actually, I'm glad I didn't put this down as one of the pre-prepared questions, even though I should have, because this is actually the most burning question in my mind in general, is what is your approach to RP? It's really fascinating how, regardless of the server, there is a myriad, a cacophony of reasons as to what brings people to roleplay.
I only ever wanted Jordan to be... I think this was best illustrated when she was reception for Shift 2. She was a very brief person for people to interact with. Mm-hmm. But she did make an impact. And that made me really happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really loved that about her. At the same time, the PD failed her. They did. Mm-hmm. And so she... Again, as a result of her environment, it gets out of hand, blah, blah, blah. My approach to roleplay, though, is to be true to the character.
Mm-hmm.
And also, though, to just provide roleplay for others, to be inclusive, to always try to be respectful, you know, to just do as much as possible. Because everyone is just trying to find their way a lot of times, you know. It's people in roleplay... They may not be the most socially inept. They may not, you know. It's role playing online. You know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So try to just be kind. It's free to be nice. You're not hurting yourself or anyone else by being a nice person. You don't have to be an asshole role player. You know, like you can at least. Give them a chance. I mean, even if you're like some gang lord or whatever, like mm-hmm. I've had so many leads of gangs be so kind to Jordan. And is it because she's a chick? Is it because she's whatever? Okay, whatever. But they didn't have to be nice to her. And I just want it to be paid forward. I want everyone to just see that, you know, you need to be kind and nice. And what goes from there goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
But give everyone the opportunity to roleplay, though.
I think that is a really good phrase to say, because I know sometimes, and I imagine some viewers maybe have questions about this too, you know. Well, is there a difference between being an asshole character and an asshole role player? And I would posit, yes, you can have someone who is an asshole character. Like, they're just the biggest bag of dicks on the planet. But
Carmine's a good example of that.
Yeah, Carmine is an amazing example. Yeah. No, yes. 52 Chains eats it up.
He is so nice, though. He is honestly a nice guy. Also, Bobby Charles, it's another example of that. Like,
yep.
He seriously, like, I owe... I owe so much to him because he would just come in and file nonsensical reports with Jordan for months and months and months. And one of my favorite, this is actually, you know, I should have answered this earlier. One of my favorite role play moments was when he had Adam from the Clowns sing Nine Inch Nails Closer to Jordan in the lobby on Valentine's Day of 2024. And it was honestly horrifying, but the funniest thing, like, it was so funny. And also Bobby Charles trying to find flowers for Jordan for that Valentine's Day. He misunderstood that flowers at that time meant weed. And so he goes and he gets weed.
Amazing.
It was just so funny. You know, it's like Murphy Braun, another good example of that, though. You know, he plays an asshole well.
You know what? Another character I want to bring up that I know Jordan interacts with quite a bit is Barky, who plays Shang Lu. Character is objectively, you know,
a heinous, evil
creature of a man, but an amazing role player. Even if even if the character's, you know, objectively, you know, fucking someone over or doing something bad, still a very generous role player that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you know that, by the way, because I have been very surprised by that whole chain of events. Honestly, like, I did not expect that. When Jordan saw him at the farmhouse with Pestilence, I was like, wait a minute. Like, this is, and then he was at, you know, Brandon's house or whatever. And then he's like telling Jordan, he's like, I don't want to kill you because I like you. And I was like, oh no, I don't know how this is going to go. but Jordan and I, OOC, because I don't get to watch streams like I used to. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that he was ADMC. And she didn't either.
It's one of those. It's really one of those.
It was crazy.
Oh, that is. I love that so much. It was one of those fun RP moments where in like OOC, I remember we were having a conversation and Jordan was talking to Eliza, giving Eliza some, you know, some of the tea about what's going on. And OOC, I knew that Shag was ADMC because he was one of the people that permed her. But
yeah,
in character,
like
Eliza's like,
whatever.
Yeah. And in character, Eliza's like, man, he's with Treepus. Yep, that's. That's all I know.
OOC and all that. That's another reason, though, why I kind of... It makes me sad that sometimes that I am on the server because I miss watching all these streams and seeing all these storylines. It's just so amazing how things line up. But being a part of that is invaluable. Like, it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. And it's so rewarding. But yeah, Shang is a great character. Mm-hmm. The fact, though, that he likes Jordan is that I've never said this, I don't think, but it is very flattering to me as a role player because it's like he likes her. He doesn't want to kill her because he thinks that she's entertaining.
Which I think that's, again, that charisma, nat 20, that's beach plus 100. All of that.
I don't know that I like that about her, though, at times. You know, I want her to be more than whatever she is at the moment. But at the same time, the state of affairs on the city, it's, you know, we're winding down. 4.0 is winding down. Yeah. And so, yeah, it is what it is.
I would argue that she is more than that, though. Like, as an external observer.
It's hard with her being like an information farmer because she can't really do a lot with it. And so what she does do with it, you know, she tries to, try to have her do it with, you know, whoever. And it's just, it's kind of interesting though. It's wild. I don't know how she's alive though. I'll be honest there. I do not know. I don't know. Like she should not be. Ugh. I just want to shout out someone, though, while we're here. LP.
LP! Oh,
Ben
Sillyside. Bestie forever. Bestie for life.
Ben Sillyside. That is, I would say, if there is a character that is similar to Jordan, but in a different way, I don't know how else to say it. It would be Ben Sillyside. He has all of these connections with people. He's alive. You know, he does so much with it. God, I love LP. He's so fantastic.
Mm-hmm. The way that he rolls with RP is truly inspirational, for lack of a better phrase. Like, the whole... I don't know all of the meta in regards to it, but the whole, like, reason why he's with the clowns is, like, masterclass and yes anding.
Yeah, well, Jordan doesn't know about that, so mm-hmm. I don't have any clue about that. Yeah. But, I mean, he was on another server, you know, that, and did run into him there as well. And, it was just, I don't know, it was fun then to see him on another server and to kind of reminisce about the heart of Ben, because he wasn't a clown there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun, but it's just, no, he... I actually have a VOD of when Jordan met him the very first time, and he gave her the unicorn, and he was like, "Jordan, I think you're having a bad day. Let me give you your unicorn." it was when he was wearing like a crop top and the shorts and stuff, uh-huh. and it was so good. And I think Dominic and Ashton were both there too, but she had it for so long, and he's just, I don't know. I just love that he has been someone that's been a part of her life for so long. He's just amazing. He's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, love you, bye.
I love you. Say it back.
Say it back. I love you. Jordan, I love you. Well, we're talking about all of these truly phenomenal RPers, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
I imagine we might have some people in chat or who are listening to the pod who are curious about, you know, wanting to get into it. What advice would you give to aspiring role players?
Pace yourself.
Mm.
Don't try to go all out, you know, balls out to the walls, whatever. Don't look, if you are like me and your anxiety like locks down trying to get your character out of the apartment, just pace yourself, you know, like it's gonna be fine. But also, don't let that hold you back. You have a story to tell with a character, and that's, who's to say the city needs that?
Mm-hmm. That's amazing advice.
Please. Well, thank you, but you know, I just know I waited so long to actually try to be on the server, and it was at Christmas, like I said, and I had been, you know, in the chat of someone that was streaming, and so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do it, and then literally my vocal cords locked up, so it was very odd. But I just kept going, and I was encouraged by them. So I would also like to put this out there. If I could ever be of help to anyone that is interested in doing this, for whatever reason, streaming or not, please, you know, I'm happy to help.
That's incredible. Well, with that said, you know what time it is, right?
Is it rapid fire again?
It's another time for more rapid fire questions! We're just, you know what, without any further ado, we're just gonna jump in. What is your favorite time of day?
Bruv hours, about 4 a.m. Yeah.
Favorite word.
Oh my god. It's two words. It's Buku Cahoots. It was my arena team name, and wow.
I love that. Do you have any pets?
I do. I have a cabochon named Penny.
Pizza topping.
Pineapple again, you know, same short.
Ooh, vintage or new?
New.
Window or aisle seat?
Window.
Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
What's your favorite fast food order?
Jersey Mike's, pretty much anything. Get me off of TikTok, I'll put it that way.
And favorite color?
Orange again.
Incredible. Yeah. Oh, can you do the Elaine dance? Spot wants to know.
I mean, I can, but I look, the it's a, as George would say, a full body dry heave. And I don't think anyone wants to see that. But yes, I can. Thank you.
I love that. What kind of activities or hobbies do you enjoy outside of RP?
God.
Do we need a breather?
I'm sorry.
I was fanning the clip at you. Just fanning the clip at you.
I mean, I like playing other games. I am pretty solitary, though, honestly. Yeah, I'm pretty alone. I'm pretty quiet otherwise. So it's, I do, like, I have, like, some, this is going to sound so lame. Like, I do, like, embroidery stuff, you know, like, that kind of thing. I play other games, though, like I said. Yeah. I'm pretty chill otherwise.
Mood.
Only child life, you know.
Can't relate. What is one thing that you've always wanted to try, but you've been too scared to do?
Travel more.
Anywhere in particular that you really want to travel to?
Petra and Jordan.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
History major, you know, that's one of my go-to places, that Machu Picchu, Egypt, you know, places like that, places that I know that I shouldn't really, you know, places that I don't think would be safe for me to go to. I really want to go to, though.
Mm-hmm.
I used to want to go to North Korea badly, too, you know, like I,
that would be fascinating.
Yes, I wanted to do a major in Soviet history, and so, you know, part of that would be to go to Russia and things like that, you know. It's just not very advised, though.
Okay, that is actually bonkers, because about 7 years ago, I got it into my mind, because I was a history minor with my degree, right?
Oh,
yeah, I didn't know of that about you. Yeah, that's wild.
I didn't know that about you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a hot second where I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Ukraine and A, learn about my motherland. Mm-hmm. A, learn about my motherland, and B, just sort of get more of that in person, up front, you know.
That's wild.
Involvement,
honestly,
with what's happening. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. People think I'm crazy, though, when I say that about, like, going to visit, like, North Korea. It's I mean, I'm not stupid. I'm not trying to, like, steal posters and stuff. Like, not
that,
saying,
yeah,
you know, whatever. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it
the
is.
The classic
you
mistakes.
Need to know. Yeah, you need to be very careful, obviously. I mean, you know, but it's, no, I would just love to be a witness, I guess, a party to what is going on there, to at least, because they did have the borders open for about 2 weeks, I believe, and then they closed them again. Russia is not really on the table anymore. I didn't want to go to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Saban, like, there's that's another place I could have done my master's in. But, you know, it yeah, that's interesting that you had history. See, we align.
I was going to, like, shortly after I graduated from college, I was going to go to St. Petersburg for a Chekhov workshop for, like, two weeks. And I wish I would have done it.
Crazy.
I wish I would have, like, there's a part of me that wishes I would have gone, and another part of me that's like, I'm not fluent in Russian. No, like, I can't read Cyrillic. What would I even do?
Speaking of that, Jordan getting, like, Russian text is crazy, because nobody knew that I even was interested in that. I'm not trying to meta, but I'm just saying that, like, that is things like that. It's interesting when things align, but yeah, St. Petersburg is.
Yeah,
are there any other? Well, I think that was another question that you might ask me, though, if I had any questions for you, and I do actually.
Oh, that is coming up. We could.
Okay, well, you go ahead.
We could just jump to that if you want.
Well, I'm curious as to how improv has helped you with roleplay. Because and which one did you start first?
Yeah, so I just a brief cursory little TLDR. I got a theater degree, interested in performing, and I moved to Chicago because there's a lot of, like, there's a bunch of different kinds of theater you can do in Chicago. There's also Second City, which is a noted,
exactly,
you know,
yes,
improv sketch comedy place.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those things where originally I took improv classes with the hopes of, you know, enriching my improv skills. And then I just did a little bit of like a 90 degree hitch in what my performing direction was, and ended up just like investing so much more time in doing improv, because it's, I'm not gonna say I'm amazing at it, but I was good enough at it to, you know, I get paid to do it. So that I'm not trying to like amp myself up here, but the more that I was doing it, the more that I kind of fell in love with that sort of spontaneous relationship that you have with your fellow performers and with the audience, and the way that it sort of stretches your muscles to think about things in different ways and think about the way that one reacts to things. Like, what is your immediate knee-jerk reaction? Like, me as a person versus, you know, whatever character I'm trying to embody. So, in regards to, like, narrative improv stuff, long form, where, you know, RP is the longest of long form stuff.
In a good way, and also in not always,
It's one of those things where, kind of like what you were talking about before, knowing how to, like, temper yourself and sort of take your time with things, because especially when you're trying to balance, especially for people who stream RP, right, there is a lot of that like content focused, you know, you could be streaming for X number of hours in a day.
This is this is another reason why I really respect Kiwoo, because that's someone that doesn't even look at their chat when they are role playing. So I am curious how others, do they temper their role play based on their chat? Like, how does that impact them? Because since I don't stream, you know, I do have a hard time because I don't have that immediate gratification. I don't have that feedback. So I'm always surprised when people give me a positive comment, I guess, you know, and I do appreciate it, but it's just that I'm just curious how it might weigh in as well.
Yeah, I'll admit, I feel like this is probably an area that I struggle in a little bit, because I approach roleplay very much as a, like, character study performance exercise, in a way, and I know that is not always the most engaging sort of stuff to watch, and I try to make sure that I don't temper my RP too much based off of chat. There might be times where I'm like, everyone's snoozing. I should probably stop having my character Sag Farm and do something and do something more productive. There is also that potential hitch with like meta, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty strict about meta, because even if people do like tonal expectation stuff, like, oh, be careful, even that stuff I try to, you know, breeze out of my head, because I don't necessarily want I don't want chat reactions to influence how I roleplay. However, I treat it more like a, and I know people do this differently depending, I sort of treat it like an ongoing director's commentary.
I'm
role playing. That's the best way I can describe it. And I think, you know, some of our wonderful lovelies who've been here for a while, like Spot, could probably, you know, either agree with or disagree with that. But that's at least my goal with it, because it is, it's a fun little look into someone's performance philosophy, in a way.
Yes.
Which I think is real fun.
I also wanted to mention this earlier. I think that it is inevitable that every character that you play does have a little bit of yourself in them. And so for someone, for like viewers or whatever, to compliment them or to acknowledge how much they like them, whatever, it's very rewarding, I put it that way, you know. And I don't want to say that I really do appreciate, you know, any viewer that is even listening to this. I appreciate the support, even though I don't stream. Thank you guys very much. I'm beyond blessed, like, since I've been a part of this community. It's been fantastic. It's been a great journey. Even at the worst times, it's been fantastic. I have had such an amazing time, and I can't wait to see what's in the future.
Hell yeah. Somewhat adjacent to that to a degree, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received? It doesn't have to be roleplay related.
I will say the roleplay related one would be to record everything. Because it's helpful. It's helpful. You know, you can go back and look at, because, you know, if you're stuck in the roleplay, you know, you don't know what you're doing. And it also helps you with what, like, audio stuff. Because, God, let me tell you, nothing makes me more mad, OOC, than my audio stuff being crazy. Like, I lose my mind. I get this new mic. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. and then I got Rhodes trying to spend, 3 hours setting up voice meter. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. See, now I'm latching into Jordan. But now I'm just saying, like, it's crazy. Audio stuff is crazy. So I do get mad about that. But the other good advice that I have, which would be not role play related, as much as you want to help others, you have to look at yourself at the end of the day. Which is hard.
It's difficult. Like, how can you take care of anyone else or help anyone if you're not taking care of yourself?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that a lot of, like, what, like, hospital shows and stuff tie into. You know, they say, like, how can you help your patients if you're not of sound mind and blah, 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 or whatever.
Yep.
But that is, like, the way that it is in real life in general.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very cogent for, you know, the circumstances that some people might find themselves in right now. That's very good advice. Incredible.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. This has been fantastic.
Yeah. I have only a couple more questions from Discord, if you are still able to answer.
Oh my god. Yes, I'm so flattered that people were asking that. Seriously.
Thank you so much for sticking around. I know this went a little longer. Hopefully in the future I'll have a better time of tempering.
Anyway, now go ahead.
Our first question comes from a member of the mod squad, Spot. What was the most surprising change in Jordan that developed since her first day in the city?
I said that I would quit playing her when she became jaded. I did not stick to that because I did not like how this is gonna sound crazy, probably. Which is funny for me to even say, because she is crazy. I didn't like that other people kind of forgot about the deaths in the city. And I liked that being a part of her personality, that she is so stuck on the deaths of people in the city. So I never expected that to be a thing. I never expected her to latch on like that, and her to be so passionate about it.
Mm-hmm. This one comes from Firewolf Neo. Have you ever felt like you were being pulled in too many story directions? And what do you do or wish you could do to make that easier?
I have just played into her being more manic and more erratic, which I think, you know, fits with her because she is in over her head in general, being in the city. Otherwise, though, I think that I go back to the question about, you know, what is her normal day in the city? She wakes up, she checks her messages, she goes, you know, in terms of most recent messages. You know, so she goes in that direction. So she's going to try to navigate everything as much as she can. But yeah, so she also feels horrible, and I think that I have her play that out, that she is so apologetic that she can't do everything because there are only so many hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously she wants to save everyone, but she just can't.
Mm-hmm. And I guess this ties into that pretty nicely. This comes from AC Decoy. another member of our mod squad, reading the note Jordan wrote while Kenny was in the ICU was so moving.
Oh, God.
What inspired that?
What was that? I'm going to have to see what the note was. Is it the note that Eliza has?
Yeah, it's the note that Eliza has.
So the lobotomy storyline was honestly the hardest thing that I've ever role-played out. I'll put it
really?
That way. It truly was. That was the hardest thing I've ever role-played out. It was crazy because I didn't expect it. And,
It can be tricky trying to, role play out those heavier moments.
It is, mm-hmm. honestly. And at the same time, you don't want to bring everyone else down with your stuff. But I think it's important for Jordan to show emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that ties also in with the open mic thing, you know? Like, it's that she is so open and she is so vulnerable. That's honestly the best way to put it. She is a vulnerable character.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Kenny thing, okay. It was jarring, I think, for her to see that, you know, this person is going to such lengths to forget her, to be to just be basically,
yeah.
But Jordan and Margo being friends now is crazy. I don't know. That is, it's like, I never would have predicted that either. Her being like, Jordan, where are you going? You know, it's like, I love Margo so much. It's just like, I never would have expected the whole thing. Like, it's just wild. You know, the whole Jordan and Randy also, you know, it's just, there's been so much that's transpired. But yeah, the whole note thing was to try to bring him back from whatever. And then Jordan also knew that Idol had his soul.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have anything to do with each other anymore. It's just too much for her. She just can't.
Mm-hmm. And I think that just ties into what you mentioned before about, you know, sometimes, like, naturally, when you're playing in this kind of, you know, this kind of setting, this kind of environment, this genre of role play, one could say, it can be challenging to RP out those heavier moments. Because like you said, you don't necessarily want to, you know, bring down the vibes for everyone, but you also want to stay true to the character to some degree. How do you reconcile that?
I mean, I try to pace myself, honestly. But also, so Jordan's current, her current love interest, her boyfriend, is very, he's very good with keeping things light. You know, he was on public for a long time. He really likes her, you know, and it's just, it's good. He actually won Eliza's contest for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
The name itself, trying to fill you, seriously, like, I mean, can you, like, that's not even normal. But no, he also, like, Jordan did his campaign for Judge, so it was for E. Lou. But yeah, you know, it has to be like, and then her friends that she does interact with, like, you know, I will say this, I did want to mention this. So the time that Eliza was at the pier by the fishing guy or whatever, mm-hmm. and she was having a hard time, and Jordan actually listened. I had Jordan listen and all of that. I think that was a good example of what she's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't always show it in that way. But that was, I think, you know, according to Jordan at that time, that was what Eliza needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of ties back to, I don't know, reading the room. You know, it's just, it's hard, but once you find people that you roleplay well with, you can make some amazing stories happen.
Mm-hmm. It's all about having that trust and support with your fellow role players, your fellow improvisers.
Yes, and I think that's really why I'm interested in the improv part, because those are people that you see in person, regularly. And it could be easy to dismiss people that, you know, just because you don't see them. They just exist online. Mm-hmm. Not everyone takes it as seriously, but they should. They should take it seriously.
Yeah, one important note with that is that there is, as with a lot of creative endeavors, there is a lot of bad improv, and there's a lot of good improv. And sort of like, this is a bizarre equivalence to make, but sort of like finding a good therapist. There's a better equivalency, but it's the closest I can think of. It's about, you know, finding that group of people that you just gel with, right? Whether it's a class that you're taking or it's the niche, exactly. In some places it's a little easier to find than others. It really is just being willing to go on that journey of like knowing yourself and knowing how your brain works in conjunction
what you're capable
with,
of.
Yeah, exactly.
And what your limits are as well. Mm-hmm. What your boundaries are.
Yeah.
Because there are boundaries in role play. And I think that's something that not a lot of people take into account. Like, that's, you know, I never would have thought that would be something I need to think about. But yeah, there are boundaries in role play. And I, yeah, it's, yeah.
Do you have a random question from Stemper in chat? Which, by the way, chat, quick little thing. No. Stemper is the originator and the brainchild behind the name for this podcast. So shout out to Stemper for coming up with the role and the player. Stemper asks, what does Epi Nummies mean? Lainey, what does Epi Nummies mean? Lainey. What does Epi Nummies mean?
That goes back to Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
See, Stimper has been a longtime viewer of this circle of all of us, which I think is very impressive, by the way. Like, I never in a million years would have thought that anyone would follow Jordan, or not follow Jordan, but just, like, view Jordan from different points of view. But anyway, Dominic Rose would get, I swear to God, if he would get tired and hungry, he would say he ate up.
What is it he would say? What would he say?
He would say he's gonna kill us all for this, by the way, Stimper. Stimper, are you trying to get me killed right now? He would say something about Epi Nummies. Oh my God, Stimper. Stimper knows. He knows.
Incredible. Well,
now we need to go back. No, that needs to be your next guest, actually. And you need to ask them. Keep telling me about Epi Nummies. Yes, please. And also, why did you fumble Chastity's numbers?
I just start weaponizing this and just inviting, legit. Okay, I'm not even joking. Legitimately, it'd be really cool to get some of the ADMC people.
Oh, yeah,
because there are a bunch of awesome role players. But that's neither here nor there. I am going to weaponize this podcast to just be toxic to people. I'm gonna have LP on and say, wow, why did you get Chastity murdered? I'm gonna
Oh my god. That is crazy. That's
I'm gonna,
great.
You know, I'm gonna get Firewolf on. I'm gonna be like, why did you perma Dr. Halen? It ruined everything! I'm gonna have him on. Why did you perma Stewie ruin my fucking Monday? I'm gonna have Diego on.
Diego, why have you not met Jordan? Because you know they're gonna love each other. You know that's gonna be Jordan's next BFF.
Why are you avoiding RP? Why are you scared? Why are you scared of friendship? I am weaponizing this podcast. Here's the thing. I am going to reestablish myself as the most toxic RP streamer. New goal.
This is because I don't stream. Then we would be in competition. Okay, you gotta get
I'll be the most toxic Ashton. RP streamer. Oh, I gotta get Ashton on.
Yes, yeah, okay, Eliza,
gotta get Sweet Gecko on.
Why did you get Jordan at the fucking vineyard when that was where her and Ashley were supposed to have gotten married?
Oh no, it's getting turned on me. Wait.
That's what I'm saying. The drama.
The consequences of my actions.
Imagine that. Imagine us ever. Imagine anyone, you know, having to do that. That's the whole thing of all these other people. Oh my God. I will say though, the lifers, like, I don't know if any of them are here, whatever, but they are amazing.
Yeah, I'm just fine here who plays Baron von Evil.
Oh, Jordan has done himself. If whatever time, you know, I'm still Stimper is still. I gotta talk to Stimper after the EP Nummies thing is hilarious. Now, again, like I said, though, it's been amazing. I've had an amazing time meeting Chastity as Jordan. Like when they had the same fits and stuff, you have only ever been an inspiration. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for being on the pod. We went a little long, but thank you so much for being our inaugural guest. Chat, I think we can say this is a solid 10 out of 10, right?
Oh, please.
Honestly, we could probably do this for like 7 more hours, but I won't make you do that because that would be cruelty. but before we end here, Lainey, is there anything you would like to plug?
You mean I don't stream regularly, so no. I just thank you all so much for being supportive. You know, I just appreciate the positive comments and chats and stuff. Thank you so much.
Everyone. Absolutely. Chat, if you're not already, make sure that you give LaineyXO a follow on Twitch. If and when she ever does stream, we're gonna get that affiliate, by golly.
Yeah. Next month I'm gonna actually try. You know, I've only got 2 more goals to hit. So yeah.
Easy. Well, chat, thank you so much for joining us for this inaugural episode of The Role in the Player, featuring the role, Jordan Ackridge, the player, Lainey.
Thank you.
Y'all are amazing. We'll see you next time.